Welcome to another Sunday show with Neil DeBeer, the president of the United Independent Movement, and me, Chris Stain. Morning, Neil. I know you're not feeling well today, so we are very grateful to have you here with us.
Always a pleasure. I think it's Biz News Sundays that adds that extra little bit of fire. So better here than sitting and waiting for anything else. And I can start the show again, Chris, that we can congratulate our Springbok team. You know, I always wait for these games against an unbelievable Barbas yesterday. And for the first time in 25 years, the Springboks victorious. So to Rassi and the team and Jesse Creel, who captained the side, well done. You've made us proud. And then don't forget about the reigning cricket champions, the Proteas, who are currently in Zim, playing their heart out, and the youngsters scoring records. So to our absolute gracious rugby team, our Protea team. And then I think it's Banyana Banyana in Morocco, who downed tools, by the way. Don't know what tools, maar het alles neergemoer in a vloermoer gegooi, because they weren't paid by Salfa. And apparently now they found some money, Salfa. And I hear they're back into the mix. So forgetting about the financial worries, to them, the soccer team, all the best, and may they do as well as our other sporting teams.
Neil, let's go to the past 2 days of drama in the government of national unity.
Yeah. Chris, one runs out of words. One runs out of emotions. One runs out of recipe. As jy nie koek kan bakkie, kan jy hom nie bakkie. Hou op and go to Woolies or Checkers. Because whatever they are using in this recipe, in the GNU, in the relationship between the DA and the ANC, they are running out of recipes and they're running out of concept of how to deal with matters. Now, in the past 2 days, we've had the president using his prerogative, this is now the new word we will be focusing on, prerogative, under his Section 93 to hire and fire cabinet ministers and deputy ministers, and he did so. So this week, Mr. Andrew Whitfield, a DA deputy minister appointed to the cabinet by the president, was told that he was very naughty and that he is going to be fired because he didn't have permission to travel to a country on his own accord, paid for by the DA, and that he didn't get the clearance. That sparked an immediate reaction now on the other side, like you cannot imagine, on the DA screaming foul play, red card, and that the punishment on Mr. Whitfield was over-exceeded, extra ferocious, and that they are absolutely not happy with it. Also to the fact that, again, the ANC did not let the DA know, again, that the DA was not consulted into this, and even when John asked, apparently, for 2 days, 24 hours, to consult with his party and with the minister in question, that when John walked out of the office 3 hours later, they sent it in any case. That then sparked this whole flare-up. And here we go again, Chris. They're going to leave the GNU. So now we know from insiders that there was a massive, massive call from people within the DA that they leave. And that this is the last straw of many other little straws that have been broken, some of them that we as public don't even know about. Now, Chris, when you decide that you are going to get into a partnership, a consortium, a coalition, a partnership for life, then there are rules. But in politics, those rules all seem to have a caveat, which says you will not do this, comma, until you hard fall. You shall not break this until you hard fall. It's that little thing that seems to creep up every time. And now, in a huge
build-up, a crescendo on Saturday where even I was saying, please leave the GNU. This is an opportune moment. Kapela. We now get told they are going to leave the national dialogue. Now, Chris, you don't hunt a buffalo with a Vimbix. Now, a Vimbix, for those who don't know, is a firearm propelled by wind. And it goes like this. Now, you try and shoot a buffalo with a Vimbix. The only thing I can tell you as a person that has seen someone hunt a buffalo with a huge gun, jy moet baie rugby bal hê. So let me quickly tell you, that's what the DA did on Saturday. They said they're leaving the national dialogue. What are you talking about? Chris, the national dialogue is a failure. And it's like saying, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't like this marriage and I'm going to tell your mom, your mother-in-law, she may not use our TV when she visits, but she doesn't. She can't even listen to radio. What threat is this? So they conjure up this ultimatum that Cyril Ramaphosa must fire, you know, our usual suspects, the three ministers and more, and that he must take immediate action. Gives them ultimatum 48 hours. Chris, we sit and count down. And what happens? Nothing. So you could critically see John had to now come to the point to say, okay, we're sticking to this. We're not going to leave, but we are being abused. We are being slapped. We are being ignored. We are being disrespected. They are not adhering to a singular rule. But Kristen, if they are not adhering to a singular rule of the what they call letter of agreement, if they are not sticking to things like the clearinghouse, and poor John says, and I'm very empathetic to the poor man being slapped by this hyena, because it's now nine hyenas biting the arse off a lady lion. And at the end of the day, he says that the document is not worth the ink written on. Now, he declares it. And then he says that they don't go on Bosberade and Beiterberade. Their Bosberade, by the way, is not like we used to have a Bosberade. Any Bos. Their Bosberade are at 5 and probably 6-star hotels. There's a Bosberade. Net on that port plant and a receptionist. You're talking rubbish. So he's saying that they've been promising to get together. Chris, can you imagine a current cabinet minister telling you that the cabinet they are sitting in does not plan, does not talk, does not discuss cohesion and strategy? What a declaration. But you remain steady because of the bigger picture. Now, Chris, we've discussed the bigger picture before, and they will tell you, because of the bigger picture, let us do this. That's a sales point. So, Saturday, 3 o'clock, the news is that because of the possibility of a doomsday coalition that could walk in if they leave, they will stick it out. We're already in a doomsday coalition as we sit here today. Because the ANC is sitting in the current GNU and they're running it as if it is their own. So what is the difference between a ANC, EFF, MK coalition partnership agreement than the current GNU that just gets overridden? So op die een kant hou jy jou back en aan die ander kant sê jy net meer. So that's the point. In the current GNU, you just get told to shut up. But in the other side, you just steal more, morer and morer than what we've had for the past 60 years. Yeah? Because in the National Party government, are you telling me they didn't steal as well? So, we've had 60 years, 80 years of absolute pivotal running of a country by a singular party. And it seems the ANC has decided that they are not going to relinquish power, that they're just going to continue and that no matter what the DA says, no matter what the DA saw, that they're not going to care. But here's a little thing that came up, something I didn't think they would do, and something we will watch very carefully, and that is that John said they also discussed the possibility of a vote of no confidence against the president. Well, what's the difference? You remove that president, you've got doomsday. You leave the GNU, you've got doomsday. So I don't know if that is our own goal. By saying, we will bring a motion of no confidence, but for now, we're leaving it. Chris, it's these little things that you're coming into a fight and you say, I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got that. A couple of months ago, Helen Ziller saying, she still has a nuclear option. And the nuclear option is to leave. Well, I will say it here. I will say it again. It's going to get worse. The ANC is going to get darker. And let me tell you, Chris, that in 2026, they are going to play dirty. Now, this will be the first time that the DA will have to get up and contest municipal elections whilst being in the GNU. And that is going to be very difficult, because the only way that the DA can get more is by absolutely ruthlessly cutting the throat of the ANC, and that's going to be an ugly fight no matter what we say. So yeah, I think a dismal failure in the sense of attacking the ANC on this matter very harder, but maybe a win for the country still at this current moment to keep the GNU in place. No matter what side you're looking at it, Hierapolis frot and it can make cider. That's it.
And then we have Deputy President Paul Mashatile's lotto license links exposed with no consequences thus far.
Yeah, Chris Teflon. Bulletproof. His bodyguards moor everybody, and he can be a person that sits under scrutiny. I think this is now the fourth scenario where he's being told, you've done this. And I sit and watch him, and this man coolly and calmly says, I'm the vice president. I don't appoint the people for the lotto. Does he think that we've got spinach in our brain? Chris, someone's calling me. It could be Paul Mashatile. Paul, I'm just busy. I'll call you later. So, Chris, sorry for that. Live. The arrogance of this man to just sit there and say that. Think that the normal South African's going to buy that rubbish. Astounds me, but it doesn't surprise me. Because he is the vice president. He is protected. And one by one, he's still going to be found out. So, we talk about ethics. We talk about the scenario where we want to go and fight corruption. Hogwash. Rubbish. We as South Africans have to accept. He's not going to get slapped by anybody. He's not going to get charged. And he's not going to be found guilty. So, yeah, just another billion, just another gabillion, just another gabillion going to an absolute elitist segment of the population, when the rest of this population doesn't even have water in their homes.
Talking about corruption, the arrests of crime intelligence boss General Dumisani Khumalo, four other generals and two brigadiers. Finally, it's taken long enough, hasn't it?
Well, Chris, there it is. You know, boom, there it is. There it is. Now we know why for the past 5 months you and I have been scratching our head, saying to the public, they can go look, something's wrong with crime intelligence. We've said it's broken. We've said that the hype in crime in this country since that other idiot, Tafel Kistoki Beki Tsele left, we've said it's broken. And we said it is inside. It is an insider scenario. And bang, finally, there it is, Chris. Lieutenant General Khumalo, who sits there and is now being arrested with not other captains and sergeants, a couple of other generals. He's the lieutenant general. He's the head of crime intelligence.
And now we know that it was the evil that was sitting inside. And Chris, let me tell you, when you are in these services that we know, you can fight the enemy outside. But when you are inside and you fight your own, it makes it so much difficult. I think it was two programs ago, Chris, where I said that this country is becoming Colombia. Well, there it is. It is Colombia. We are overtaken by the rot. The criminal cartels are running us. And the people that we are supposed to go to for help, the same people, thyself the mentor, that is supposed to serve and protect us, are the demons themselves. Now, that's lost, Chris. That's lost. That means that we have a broken arrow. It means that the SAPS system is broken. We must admit it. And now we need to turn to Mchunu. And we must say to Mchunu, if you are different, if you are really different than the predecessor, what are you going to do? And we want to see now the scalpel out and cut them out. Because if we are to the root now, you don't get higher than this in crime intelligence. If we are at the root, then cut it out. You don't kill a tree by chopping off a branch. You kill a tree by wiping out the roots. So, Chris, I hope this is a mandate. I hope the public has got a lot to say. It's their money. I mean, the things he's being accused of. The theft, the looting of the state secret fund of intelligence. This is crazy, Chris. It's not becoming a banana republic. We are a fruit salad. Klar, also some afrechterslaai, not just a banana. And we have to draw a line. And we say this every Sunday. Where's the line? Because it's happening in parliament, it's happening in politics, it's happening in our uniform services. So I don't know how much this country can bear. How much more can we sit here and listen to the utter bulldust that we are being thrown in, and we every month we pay. We pay. We are funding this. We are funding this. Now, how long are you going to keep on funding this when you see that we are in a state of absolute disarray and we cannot look past it, Chris? We are in trouble, and the only way to fix it is to fix it. It's not to put our heads in the sand. Become an ostrich. We better fight, Chris. And we're running out of time and we're running out of options.
Still on the rot on the inside, a dozen South African National Defence Force soldiers arrested in connection with the murder of a Hawks investigator, Neil. We spoke about that a few months ago, remember?
Yeah, there was a rumor. And now it's a fact. Not just soldiers, Chris. Special Force soldiers. People that wear that coveted maroon beret. People that wear that badge that I was slapping the minister of, the head of the Defence Force. Wearing that badge, the operator's badge. These are the people that were arrested. In actual fact, a retired commander of 5 Reconnaissance Regiment included, a general. Now, Chris, the allegations read like a horror, a spy thrill, that they are, at this current moment, allegedly being said that they were part of a hit squad. That they were part of a team that already existed in the Zuma era, and that they were deployed to do the dirty work. Now, if so, Chris, if so, this is shocking again. This is an indictment. Not only in the same week do we find out that crime intelligence has been penetrated and has gesteek laat hy bars, now we find out that the Defence Force top echelon, top soldiers, are involved in this dark and seedy world. It's always been there. We do know it, but not on the fact of statement of doing assassinations, of investigations, of a person that was the Hawks' investigator. We're killing our own. We assassinated a Hawks colonel. And they say it's them. Now, Chris, when this happens, then you must know the bombs are bursting everywhere and the civilians are sitting with their eyes like this. Chris, I've got a very, you know, close relationship with those members that wear that beret. I know the operators. They are legends in their own. You know, and having served with them, I woke up in this week and I went, no, not them. Because, you know, where we come from, Chris, the 70s, the 80s, and in the 90s, when the wars were on, when we were really fighting, these were the elite. You know, you could, you know, I remember when they used to come into your base, you used to be in awe. And I remember joining them as a support entity, but you got the right to wear the beret, you got the right to wear the black and white belt. And you know, when you used to just walk into the public, people used to, I mean, you weren't even an operator, but they gave you that respect. And I'm very sad today. I think the Special Force Brigade, the Special Force League, that's now the retirees, who some I know, must be feeling absolutely terrible being associated. Chris, this is a thing that's going to burst. Command came from where? See, I don't always look at who pulled the trigger. The person that pulls the trigger 99% of the time is just told to do that. And the big fish get away. It's like poaching, Chris. The person that shoots the elephant, that shoots the rhino, he gets $2,000. But the Chinese guy in China gets $20,000, $30,000. This is going to be breaking news. It's going to test the justice system. And that's what I'm waiting for. For the people that still go out there, policemen, the good cops, because they are. And for those members in the SANDF, the good ones, we still support you. We don't give up on you. But this is a slaughter of a generation and a slaughter of a name. And we have no answer because the minister that is supposed to be accountable is gone, missing in action. That I can tell you.
Well, and the deputy, surely.
Well, very quiet. You know, when I saw Angie Motshekga being made the Minister of Defense, I was okay because I knew she would just be the Minister of Defense. Mm. You know, she just got 30% in education. My hope was on Bantu Oromisa. And I know him. And not only that, Chris, he is a general. Now people go, yeah, he's a aangeplakt. No, sir. He went to the academy in South Africa. He was trained by the South African military. I thought, there we are. At last, for the first time in 10, 15 years, we have a minister or a deputy minister that wore the uniform. But Chris, nothing. Not a word. And that's how I think they drill them down. And that's what I said to the DA. The DA must realize that if they don't fight fire with fire, the ANC drowns you with incompetence, sucks you down to their level, and beats you. And that's what they're doing to the Defense Force. That's what they're doing with the police. Every department, Chris. So the only way to do this is to get rid of them.
Meanwhile, there's been another meeting between Afrikaner leaders and White House officials.
Yeah, die derde groot trek. Chris, ek dink die hot dogs is lekker in Washington. I think Kali Kriel came back, called Corne and said to Corne, Corne, hierdie hot dogs wat hulle hier vir ons gee, is 'n klomp gemors. Jy moet 'n bietjie Washington toe blik. Ja, 3 months, he's there. Chris, beside for the hot dogs, I don't know. It's as if, and remember, Corne Mulder is probably one of the people in this country that I hold with great esteem. I do, you know that. You also recognize him as a statesman. He is a statesman. He's the longest serving member of parliament. So either he's a very good accommodator or he is a great statesman, and I give him that yield. But he knows how to play the game.
They spent the week there, meeting again people, talking about South Africa. Chris, I'm starting to think, and forgive me, but I'm starting to think that people from my generation and people from my language, the Afrikaner, I think we're starting to think that the only hope that we have is America. And Chris, I won't be disappointed. I won't cast a shadow on it. Because South Africans must realize that the Afrikaner, the farmer, the boer, whatever you call it, is just being ignored. They found a moment in time where Donald Trump gave us a lot of attention, and we took it. Now, I don't know, Chris. It's as if Donald is done with us. I don't know if you're getting the same feeling. He had Musk. He had South Africa. He had his thing. He had his movie. He had Dim the Lights. He had Wawa. And now he's moved on to peace in Iran, peace in Israel. The bigger things, truly, the bigger things on earth. And rumor, not rumor, he said that the other day, that his biggest aspiration at the moment is to win the Nobel Peace Prize with a couple of bombs. So I think we must get it now. He's not going to intervene. He's not going to help us. We, the South Africans, as South Africans, we will have to find our own way. And kudos to everybody that went. You know, I still have a standing invitation to go meet people. But the question I asked myself is, do I want to go there and be told, Neil de Beer went to America, he went to go help, and then nothing happens? That's a waste of time, that's a waste of expectation, that's a waste of expertise, and creating a false narrative. Because I would like to do things where I can interject. This program, Chris, undeniably gives us more say, more intervention than what we think. I think being here has more effect on the government than taking a trip to go have a hot dog, with respect. Corne says it was a success. Corne, I can judge. He doesn't waste time or marker. So I hope they are getting things that they wanted. But for the country, I don't think America's looking at us anymore.
Well, Neil, somebody pointed out to me this week that you and I are now on our third government, enemies of our third government. We are fighting the third government, and if we are not careful, we'll be fighting the fourth one very soon. So,
now, I think, Chris, when you are a person that is born to fight for justice, it started at primary school, Lori. Started at school. It started at your work. You are always fighting for those that are... Yes, so Chris, let me tell you. Mike Sham, I think you know, and I said I would acknowledge Mike, had a bite at me this week to get me on his program and gave this show such great accolades and asked us, why do we do this and why does he do it? The day that you decide that you will be a just person is the day that you will declare yourself a person that will not be able to live a normal life. I never knew that fighting apartheid and now fighting the same ANC I fought with, that would cause so much craziness, so much harm, so much negativity to me as a human. But the question is, if I could do it all again, would I? And the answer is, you bloody right. Ek sal hulle aanhou bliksem en moer until I die. Because it's not for me. It is for the country and the people we love so much. So, yeah, Chris, it's not easy fighting these battles. But I look at you on a Sunday. You look at me on a Sunday. We plan for this program. And we say to each other, we're really going to get slapped this time. Chris, we're always going to get slapped. It's well worth it. And this country is well worth fighting for.
Absolutely. Thank you, Neil, for coming on the show today when you were feeling absolutely, utterly awful. Our business viewers will really appreciate it. That was Neil DeBeer, the president of the United Independent Movement, and me, Chris Stain, on the Sunday show for BizNews. Bye, Neil.
Bye, Chris. Blessings.